Maisa level. So, again, the homework assignment of the new pages, your Gimel, your Dalet, is very briefly. The Gemara is in the Sefer Yevamos that an individual whose father was not Jewish was told to run away to a far place where no one would know, and there they'd be able to find the Shidduch. The question becomes, the disciple asks in Yevamos, how can you hide this fact? So he explains that when it comes to buying merchandise, you're not allowed to hide anything because the identical item is found without any flaws. Why should I buy a car with a flaw? Why the same car, the thousands on the assembly line, without that flaw? When it comes to a human being, there are no clones. You can't say, I want the same boy, the same girl, without this particular shortcoming. The individual does not exist in the globe. And therefore, you have to, you're not required to reveal the fact, for example, the father is a goy, but you can't find the same exact individual whose father is Jewish. This doesn't exist on the planet. Okay. Unless it's a very, very serious mum, which according to the words here on page Gimel, towards the bottom, and of the paragraph, mum gomar sheyadua shemachmosa lo hayu misratzen b'shun ofen. They would never agree to it no matter what. No matter what. So, and he explains, gets the paragraph running over, you don't have to reveal it. Why? Another item, reveal it. So he'll say, I won't buy this one, I'll buy that one. Here you can't find an equivalent individual. Here on page Yudalit, you won't find. Is this false? Top line of page Yudalit. I've been suing. But the ever, the Akashak for Nisu, after he married her, Afilu Ilu Hoyatsara Shane Maski Miritsona Lugoma Levatla Mecca, Hanalis Garish, the other side agrees to get divorced. Mikoma Koma Umdenahu, Shloya Rotsu Bezer. They love each other, who knows who'll get another spouse. So therefore, whatever been the Yevet, he wouldn't want to get divorced. It's not considered Geneva's Das, you don't say it in the first place. That's an amazingly high bar this type of set. The only time you have to reveal it, if it's so serious, that the person would want to get divorced after he married her without realizing it. Wow.
Wouldn't that theoretically be a
low bar?
Today, that's a pretty low bar in terms of stuff.
Because we get divorced for nothing.
Yeah.
We're not discussing crazy to get divorced for nothing.
Okay, what?
We're discussing regular people who don't get divorced as an emergency. Well, I'm sorry that today's society divorce has become like, you know, you go on a date, you drop me after one date, you drop me after 1 year of marriage. That's an insane mentality which exists in certain places. Everything's disposable. Spouse always disposable. That's not a Jewish idea, and I can't comment about that. But in any event, but there's an expression which the disciple used, which I want to focus on, and pay you down. If you have to say everything, every blemish, kimat eif shlod ishtadech, let me find the shidduch. Ki betchilas ha-shidduchin, kol domer kotem nekalka. Everyone knows, the beginning of the shidduch process, any little thing is going to ruin the whole thing. The answer is, okay, fine. So don't tell it, say at the end. What say at the beginning for? So he quotes here from Chazon Ish. He called Dovah Shatzibur Mach Ben Havimum. It's Rav Zilberstein quote. Rav Zilberstein once was asked, who paskins what's a mum? So he says, not Rosh Hashivas, not Rabbonim, not Dayanim, not Poskin, the community. Whatever the community is considered to be a mum, is a mum. Whatever is not a mum, is not a mum. Fascinating statement. And therefore, he quotes from the Chazon Ish saying something similar. The gam ein zeh mehat tvuna. It's not wise. Lahazkir dover should be sold for Yisgala. Something should be revealed at the end of the day. Vataromes tishara lekol achayim. There'll be harvest and resentment for a lifetime that you were fooled. Therefore, you have to take. But lo bepegisha rishon at the first date. Ki bepegisho achronot. The Kratasov. I always say the halfway point. Of course, it's like a radioactive half life. You don't know what the halfway point is. What's the Al Shem Sofa? Depends what group you're in. So if you're in our group, I always tell people they go out now in 3 months. And where did I get that from? My Seraph. So 3 months is a good average. So that's the case. After 6 weeks, you should say whatever has to be said. That's what I tell people. Chazanish is more maker. You show achonot the kvat asof. You see, he's past the halfway point. Towards the end, as you remember. One of my things once said, I'm rounding third base. Yeah, that's the last quarter or something like that. You know, he's ready. Baruch Hashem, you're rounding third base. Thank God. Got married, many children, grandchildren. Rebbe, I'm rounding third base. So, that's what I've never heard of third base, but that's what I would assume that he had in mind, like the last quarter. The last half, I'm assuming it's the last quarter. Okay? Fine? Because he showed Achronov is at least 2 dates. How many dates do they have altogether? Rav Moshe Bick said? No? Rav Moshe Bick said, wrote an article in the Yiddish papers, that he wanted every couple should go out at least 8 times before they get engaged. So it's not where everyone crazy. What are you kidding? 8 times about them. And he said, Katsi b'chayai b'pnei b'nos ches. Go out 8 times. Possibly, I haven't seen it gracious. So Rav Moshe Bick responded, Sat meruv, he's a big Masada Kedushin, but I'm a Masada Gittin. And I know how important it is to do it my way. So assuming they went out for 8 times, so he showed at least 2 dates, and around the third base, 2 out of 8, in those circles, in B'nai Brak. And if you're living in, I don't know, in our parts of the world, they're probably going to want much more than 8 dates. I don't know how much, what to give a number. They go on 12 dates. So you got to say, then I would say after 6, and the Chatz may say after 9, and you keep extrapolating how many dates they're going to get. Obviously, it's all hashara. You never know what's going to happen down the road. Estimates. Fine. But here, Rabosai, Kilas Yaakov wants to deflect his own proof. Why? The Meniyas Adrisha B'yuchsin Avikas Gama. The Yavshalachkar. Ask the guy, who's your father? Ask him! It never said the guy's not a lie. Why do I want to say? You go to a faraway place, no one's going to know your father's not Jewish. They didn't ask the guy. If they didn't ask him, he's not required. In other words, the obligation is not on me to disclose it, it's on you to inquire about it. If there's come kind of a sickness which no one knows about it, no one can inquire about it, so therefore, the less possible it is to inquire about it, the greater my disclosure obligation. Ironic. That's what he suggests. And he doesn't like it for various reasons. But the push-up shot is that maybe it's really right. He goes into a whole discussion about mekachtos, etc. His main point is the eino motu lachshosh al stam yisrael shovim nafri. In other words, all our data lived up. In other words, it two considerations over here. One is the ability to inquire, and two is the frequency. Ironically, the less the ability to inquire, and the less frequency, that increases the disclosure obligation, because he can't expect him to inquire, or her to inquire. They never dreamt about it, so rare, and they don't have easy access to it. Ironically, the more common it is, and the more known it is, I have a less obligation to disclose it. You have a better. It's easy if you're to inquire, and you should have thought of it. You follow me? This is very, very, very lemaisa. This paragraph.
Doesn't that kind of go against the Gemara though? Because the Gemara recommends him to put himself in a situation where they're not going to ask.
They could ask. The answer is some will ask and some won't. In this town, everybody knows as far as they go. In the other town, depends how old the girl is, you know. But give me a decent expression. How much the girl wants a shidduch. So she doesn't really, she needs a shidduch. She won't care to ask who his father is. He looks like a nice fellow. So they can get married.
No, but the Gemara seems to imply that the reason why you go to faraway town is because they assume you're Jewish, you're not going to ask,
that's what Kibbutz Yaakov says. So they're going to assume you're Jewish, so this logic of the previous paragraph will not apply.
Gemara implies that it does, because the Gemara recommends doing that. Put himself in the situation.
That's why he goes back to his raya. He says that he has a raya that you don't have to disclose. He wants to refute the raya. That's the obligation of the other side to inquire. He rejects it both based on the laws of Mekachtos and Hilchos Mechira, as well as The guy in obligation to inquire never entered his wildest dreams, the father's a god. Especially in those days. Today, unfortunately, it's crazy, the world. But in those days, no one to marriage. What, the father's a guy? Who ever heard such a thing? So therefore, you wouldn't dream of inquiring about it. Not that you're masking to it. Oh. Then comes the other way. Both the Netziv and Imre Yosha both say that in the olden days, if you lived here, and you went many, many miles away to a totally different location, you could go through an entire lifetime and no one will ever know your father was a god. Long before we had emails and Twitters and Alamin Azachan, in those days, you know, telephone, nothing. You move a few hundred miles away, no one's going to ever know. How are you going to find out? Yeah, I can imagine, you know, that in one of those Victor Hugo novels somewhere, you know, it's going to come up, you know, it's only a novel. In real life, he marries a girl, his father's a girl, she'll never find out. She'll never find out. That's why it's okay. That's why it's okay. But nowadays, you can't hide this anymore. And that's why I suggested chatting with Rabbi Yasha. Rabbi Yasha was quoted by his son-in-law, Rav Zilberstein, and I quote, "Gab mikre zeh sha'av hu goy, tzorach legalos." You have to reveal your father's a goy. Pilei ploid! It's against the Gemara. Think of Rav Yasha's Gemara inside out, backwards and forwards like nobody else. How can he pass them against the Gemara? The Gemara says you're allowed to go far away and hide the fact that your father's not a Jew. And he says, you know how to do that? Maybe all the Rav Yasha and the Tziv, bizmanenu, she'osu lihigolos, tzorach legalos. Why? What's wrong with the father of the guy? What's wrong? The great people's father of the guy. So it's explained over here. Hachisaron hu be'ika be'kpeidas p'ne'odim. It's subjective. V'lachein im lo yivoda ein kol kach hisaron. It's a subjective shortcoming. And if no one ever finds out about it, there's nothing really wrong. The guy can have a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother. He's 100% Jewish. And there's nothing wrong. Objectively. Now, of course, the question becomes, what if it's an objective problem? It's like, well, the Nishmas Avraham, who quotes from Rav Yashin himself, he distinguished between Pagam Mishpacha, the Ein of Pagam, not intrinsic, nothing wrong with the father being a goy, and the Yeshmak, you know, some people just don't like it subjectively, the Bezeh Ein of Tzorach Legalos, that's the Gemara. Ube Pagam Begufo, there's something wrong with the body, that's the Stipulus case. Shehu Pagam Metzias, that's objective, factual. Then Bechayim Legaloso, then you actually must reveal it, Rabosai. Now, if the Gemara is referred to a case where he would not be known as the Netziv suggested, the last line in this page says, Pagam Beguf, an objective chesaron in the body, Chayim Legalos, Af Im Mishara Shalom Elivon. It's a strange case. He has something internal which the spouse will never find out. Still have to disclose it. That's what comes out if you put these two Rabbi Yoshas together. Anyway, both these are critical criteria over here on this page. Critical. Why did I ask you to do this homework? Because it's nothing to do with our sugyas. You can do it on your own. The next page goes to our sugya. And it goes to the Ram, which I want to see that was then inside. Turn to the Afnun Test of Advais and Dapa Yorif, which is in the have the Mamma Koma sheet. Page Kuf something or other. I forgot what it was. Kuf Ayin Ches, I believe. Kuf Ayin Ches, if I'm not mistaken. Ababa Islandis, this is on page Kufay and Ches, towards the very end of the narrow lines. The old Gemara is between Gemara and the word Vayotza, towards the end. Okay? But Islandis, Lohoya Adava Muta Laleo, she had no obligation to disclose. Shere Lohoysi Odas Bekach, she didn't know. And then my mother called Godel, Ava Pishul Higaben. The Savri, you don't have to disclose it. I'm a Gusha, and he's a coin. Nah, Hey, maybe they want to marry me anyway. I'm not a Gushi Zakan. I have a blonde, blue eyes. It's strange. It's a lot to discuss from a Yid. If she's an Isalav, it's blonde. But if she has a mum, which she has no about, then he would never agree. Isn't that against everything we believe in? That's why I quoted you on page Tezvov, which we're going to see together now, together, the Chazanish. How can it be? Look at the Chazanish, it's almost poetic. You with me? A column two, page, paragraph two. The Nirin, the Dafka and the Dharma Mumi of Ireland is Chayotigo. She nafsho shall adam soledes mehem. You heard of the expression Yad Soledes Mo? Everyone heard of the expression? The hand recoils. So the person recoils from such a serious move, even the Dharma. Choshev b'stam kitnai mefurish. Even though it wasn't stated, it's as if it's a condition, I don't want to marry such a person. Aval arayis, the fact that there's a halachic prohibition, lo choshev mum b'mechash adam. In a person's visceral reaction, it's not considered to be a blemish. Why? Very simple. The nafsho shel adam mechamdasen, it's called a chazal. That arayis, to watch out, because you're the average person is very much driven to be involved in a physical relationship with an individual of the opposite gender, as we understand it. And the fact that there's a halachic problem notwithstanding, we see it all the time in real life. The man who becomes and falls in love with a woman who is really prohibited to him, but he can't overcome his emotions and his lusts. Later on, he's going to regret it. That moment, freeze that moment in time. He's standing under the chuppah with this woman. And just imagine the following case. I know in certain non-Jewish religions, there's an expression from the movies. Speak now, no, or forever hold your peace. So I remember it was a child. Still, they still say it? Basnish.
They still say the
goofies. So just imagine the man is under the chuppah with this woman, who he dated innocently, and he's a kohen, and someone yells out, she's a grusha! He's under the chuppah with her.
Why do you wait until then?
He loves her. He's ready to marry her. He's ready to think about being with her physically. And the guy yells out, she's a grusha! Says Chazanish, she'ilu noda lo akshav. Can we guarantee that even a frumid put into that circumstance is going to back out? The grusha is a very unlikely scenario, but people know it. But I'll give a different case. A guy yells out in the audience, she had a non-Jewish boyfriend. Called the Shulchan Aruch, right? Based on the Gemara, the Mishnah, he can't marry her.
Which Rav will marry them?
I was once in a situation that there was a Kohen, and it came to the attention of the Masada Kedushin, this is Shiva, that she had a history with non-Jewish, but not a fool, the Balas Shuvah. He asked, what should he do? I said, I should try to have him, then I'll get married. So he backed out as Masada Kedushin. I didn't go to the wedding. I didn't tell anybody.
The wedding happened.
And they're happily married to this day. Is there any heter whatsoever? On first glance, absolutely not. We'll look at Yavamis. I can't tell you that wild heter with Ara'ah, which we'll talk about with Hashem on Wednesday.
Yep. The story that our shepherd was in Masada Kedushin, and the mother came over to him and said that.
Rav Moshe. So I told that story. Rav Moshe was in Masada Kedushin. Under the chuppah, the mother of the boy said, I can't hold it anymore. This boy is not from my husband, it's from somebody else. Rav Moshe had three words. Kosher Einan Emenes. And Baruch HaShem, Baruch Rav Gofer, and he went into the marriage. Rav Moshe had nerves of steel. The child is kosher because she's not believed. A mother is not believed to say that a child that she has, which we think comes from her husband, is from somebody else.
We don't believe her?
We don't believe her.
Wouldn't she know?
She knows. We don't believe her. Rabbi Bezin told me that story. He was there, Rav Moshe, someone came over to him under the chuppah and said, that she's a mother, so I can't hold it in. It's not from this, from this, my husband over here, it's from somebody else. The Gemara says, "Ain't an emenis." It's a kashya. It's
probably true.
No, no. But Moshe knows halachas more than you and me. He went on to the wedding. Kach shamat. I wasn't there. Okay, let's go back. Right. So the Chazon Ish says, "Zelachoshim umdur demucha." You can't say with certainty that even a from Jew would have the spiritual fortitude to walk away from the chuppah and not go through the mat. The etim have a suffek ulai kodma pachzuso lisbonanuso. It's Chazon Ish wrote poetry. Pachas kamayim. His quickness to want to marry her will overcome his long term, his bonus as a bal musar. That's the wrong thing to do. Uvistamal achashim tonight. And nay, look at Chazon Ish, it's like the Baditshev almost. Shekol is skarvusa b'shiducha nimo haya b'tos. He never would have gone out with her had she known she was a good. He learned from Eid. The Yisrael b'chetzkas kashrim shalo yitin eina b'mashena shalo. He never would have involved himself with this girl had she known she was a grusha. Ava zelo mahani levad la kiddushin kol she berega kiddushin lo yashav b'idios. He wouldn't have backed out. V'zeh eina b'lo sopek. It's only a doubt what he would have done. V'lo kol she rumna d'muchach. He's a tzaddik. He really would have backed out. It's a drum shabbat and drum. We don't know for sure. Ah, kind of the Chazon Ish explains this run we have over here in our daf Kufayin Ches, in our new edition, or a new testament base, the old editions. I'm ending the next paragraph. This is me speaking. V'tzarech lo ma'od. Dimitam ze gufa lo mutal oleo legalos k'moshikos of Iran. The emshar she arev olav amekach, kolomar, af kishenodolo sheish iser, yirtzeli shorima. He'll discover ultimately she's a grusha. He'll want to stay with her. He'll want to divorce her. Umikan raya li yisodo shalakilis Yaakov. The rak bimum gomur asher yadua. Shemach mosa lohoye misratzen b'shemofen ene kidushin. The kolship in the yev of the achashenisu umdenahu so yitzel zgarish achresh ekfornis kashu b'chibu v'koshim nagerishin lo choshim gonev das v'mash lo sipra mum. How unbelievable. If you can assume that if you discover it post fact that you stay together, there's no disclosure obligation. Pilei ploim. That's the disciple has said. I have a question. V'choyesh diyukim sosrim. What happened? What case? K'she'ein umdenah l'kan. Hold the count. Because the Ran said, Kol she efshar she arev olav ha-mekach. Is it a possibility that he'll want to stay with her even though she's a surlo? Ha-mekudesh v'tor legalis. Who has a stipler? What did he say? Rak b'yodua. That's where we started off. She eino misratza b'chol ofen eino kidushin. Hom efshar she misratza b'kudeshes. So the first part of the sentence was like the Ran. Who besov kosav, this time I have his lashon before, sov kosav, dirak b'umdana shelo yirtze lizgarish ein tzoro legalos. Only if we know that he's not going to want to get divorced, then there's no disclosure obligation. D'mashma, d'myesh rak efshara sheyisratza, there's almost a possibility that he's going to agree to stay married to her. Excuse me, it is only a possibility, but not an umdana, then tzara legalis. So I had the following suggestion. Ule Eshlom. The dai be avsharus she yisrate av im yisgala lo techel defnei akidushin. As a Chazon Ish with respect to Chai Belame, Gusha Lekari, Shlo Yama bin Yisoyim, Vuadun b'mum, the avshan shalo yisvirtsu levatlas ha-shidduch, v'rega ha-achron. All you need is, Rabbi Osai, the possibility that he's not going to back out at the last minute. You don't need a near certainty. You need an umdala, not just a 50% chance. He's not going to want to get divorced if they're married already. Shebazel or Daibi, I'm sure it's a possibility. You need an umdala. Vinir, I wrote, The Dayim Rov and the Adam Lo Yitzel is Garish. That's what I thought. So almost most people wouldn't want to get divorced. From both sides, people discover all kinds of things about their spouse and they don't get divorced. After the fact. But you need a majority. As opposed to if you would discover it before the fact, you would need either a 50-50 or maybe even a minority chance. That's the lush that we saw in the Iran. Epsher, maybe we saw the Mecca. Maybe. Maybe if you discover under the chuppah, even though it's a less than 50% chance. So, skipping the next two paragraphs because it's a question of Rove and Chazakah. Back on to the details. So, the Gemara says that the Ferish on Haman Beis, Chazakah ain't under the fires of a movement. The person typically will not be mollified if he discovers a move. He's there, in the paragraph. Chayavim legalos rak mum kol kach gadol shamiyut sheyispayes lifnei hakidushin eino matzur. It's so serious that the percentage of people, I'll translate in our words, that would agree to it knowing the mum is less than 10%. That's what emerges from the various sources. Wow. Well, if he's in there, the b'mum kazeh, such a serious mum, rov b'nei adam yirtzu lizgarish, af sheno da afar nisim. That's a criterion that we saw earlier. The rak b'zeh, yesh ten kidush etol, so gilu as amum, no da afar nisim. Of course, the question becomes as follows. This is a circular reasoning. V'nire, the enom is fayes, Bekevin Shahoya lo legalos vihit asa also. She should have revealed it and told them about it. Ulefizeh im gamhi lo hikir b'mum shalom. She didn't know about it. How can it be? On machla penimis o genetis. Arachanisun. There are cases that we know, Rabbi Osai. A couple got married. They were all in the best of health as far as I knew. Right after the marriage, they discover a terrible cancer. In one of the spouses. And it's obvious that this cancer was there before the wedding. But they didn't know about it. Many cancers sneak up on you. You don't know about it. They discover, I have a case that always happened in the Sheva Bros. The Sheva, I don't feel so well. They took him to the doctor. They discovered a terrible cancer. She swore, he swore up and down, they did not know about it before. And I'm assuming it's true. She didn't, he didn't know about it, the parents didn't know about it. It was just discovered. But it's discovered that obviously it predated the wedding. In that case, I'm guessing the average spouse would stick with the spouse. Because she came in good faith, with clean hands. She didn't know. If she knew or he knew, the average person would walk away. Chutzpah. You have cancer, you don't tell me about it. You knew about it, you didn't tell me about it. That's my take on this whole story. But watch this now. The chen b'din, the role of the adam lo yirtzu this guy should be because he's there. And with the offense, Shlo Yahya, do Allah af echad the fakidushin, Zeo ha modeid hayachidi. That's the only criterion. You can't discuss what would have happened had they been told before the wedding. Didn't no one knew before the wedding. The Yavshalot didn't come and misspice in the moon because of the fakidushin. The Madubak Shemi Yadua Klan, no one knows about it. It's an interesting thing, Rabbi Osai. When I learned this Ksubas last time, we had a lot of polls with the Talmidim. Talmidim agree with this criterion completely. They said, what about a particular shortcoming? A particular medical issue. Let me physical health, mental health, a particular issue. So many people said that what would happen if your sister, you know, your brother had this situation? What would you do? What would you tell him? I think most people in the Shia voted then that if it was unknown to both parties beforehand, so then they would stay with it. But if it was known and they fooled, then they would say that's outrageous. So what's going to happen, just imagine, turn back in time 30 years ago. The sniper was still alive. And the person has a very serious move. But it's not that serious that most people would divorce after the fact. And the person asked the Kilas Yaakov and said, you don't have to reveal it. Okay? Now they get married and the other spouse discovers it. And screams, Hamas! That's what I question. Screams, bloody murder! What'd you do? Come with me, he says. And she says. So They go to the stipler. So yeah, I, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, I paskin not to reveal it. So how can you have tithes to the boy or girl that didn't reveal it? They went to the God of the door and said not to reveal it. Going around in a circle, Rav Yaakov. It's happening. The whole reason why the people were so angry at him or her is because they didn't reveal it. I went to the God of the door, I didn't have to. Think about that for a minute. This is a very serious conundrum. Follow what I'm saying over here? He's not so push. He's not pushing a lot to get out of this one. That's assuming the stack was correct. But as we shall see, and we already did see, there are two reasons why he may not be correct. One is his mechutin, Rav Yashim said, or mechutan, because as you know, Rav Chaim can actually marry the daughter of Rav Yashim, the oldest daughter of Batsheva, Lashon. So Rav Yashim says, no, the Gemara is only talking about a subjective, extrinsic shortcoming of having a father and non-Jew. Would never say it when it comes to a physical blemish, which is objective. And number two, the Netziv and others said that the Gemara is only referring to a case where she'll never find out. But here, we know she's going to find out. Not only is it unwise, as the Chazanish said, to keep it, but it really shouldn't be done. You have to reveal it. Get an impression that the Chazanish, who was the stipler's brother-in-law, and I guess Rebbe, disagreed with the stipler's stack. And what's he going to do with the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos? Maybe he'll take the Netziv. Then it's going to be revealed. Well, like Rebbe Yosha. Wow. So now, Rabosai, let's see how this applies not only to Kedushay Tos and Asugya, but also the disclosure obligation. So we now start what's called paragraph Vav. Come with me. Paragraph Vav. Rabosai starts right over here on page Tezayim. And this is the final paragraph in this whole minor. It spans four pages, okay, but it's only the final paragraph. So we have an hour to go. Let's see if we can what we can do over here. Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Rabotai, who saw the video? Ah, thank you so much. I can't take my eyes off it.
He was 83 years old at that time.
I think it was much older than that.
How he walked?
Yeah, I think it's much older than that. Because there was a big fight how old the Chofetz Chaim was when he passed away. His star was 95 years old, which was 10 years later. So they say he's going to be 85 years old. That's what the historians say. The New York Times wrote he was 105 years old. And it's very likely that that's correct. The Chazanish of the Chofetz Chaim was at least 100 years old. He hit his age. And he said, it had to be. Mi yesh Chofetz Chaim, oy v'yom the rest of. Chofetz Chaim lived a long life. It's very likely over 90 at the time. He's walking very beautifully and briskly, and no one wanted to hold on to him. And of course, with the modest, I keep looking at it again and again. You can't take it. I never thought, you know the story about this video? I was hidden for 20 years somewhere in South Carolina. And some nudnik kept bothering these archivists there because he saw that there was the first part of this video said the Chofetz Chaim is on it. And it wasn't. They kept hacking and hacking and hacking. For 20 years, they finally found it. And that's what just came out last week. It was hiding somewhere. No one knew who it was. It's amazing. Anyway, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim wrote, it was a chisaron otzum. Now here's the disclosure obligation on the chosm, the kalo, the family. Gam odom acher sheyodea mizeh chayav legalos lekalo. Rabosi, everybody in this room is on the line. You know that the couple's getting engaged, and you know there's a chesaron otzum in the boy. You are required to step forward, do what's uncomfortable, and say something. What did I say in New York? You see something, say something. That's the new mantra.
For the subway.
Huh?
For the subway, make sure it doesn't get bombed.
Whatever it may be. So here too as well. And as a matter of fact, it's the same called the Pisrei Tshuva. Not the one that we have on the side of all the Shulchan Aruch. Or Achayim, written by a different mechaber. In Siman Kuf Nun Vav, he writes, everyone is so careful about Lashon Hara. But it's a problem. If you don't speak when you should, you're violating a different Avera. Lo Samar al Damar Yemba. Sometimes you must be quiet, most of the time, and sometimes you must speak up. And there's no in between, Rabosai. You and I are on the line all the time. We see this all the time, these problems. How Otsum must the Chesaron be? How do you want to change Chesaron Otsum? Awesome shortcoming. right? Rabbi Goyim, Rabbi Batsumim, powerful, major. Of, what's that mean? So what, how do you define it? So once again, Rav Zilberstein. Geder Chisaron Atzum, who called Chisaron Shugam B'Di'Eved. He quotes the stipler. Any Chisaron that they're going to want to break up if they discover it after the marriage, that's the Chisaron Atzum. Less than that, not. Can you imagine? Shemliachar Maisa who Mevater Alov Peneros of this garish is Bechlal Chisaron She'eino Atzum. How do you like that? How do you like that? An amazing criterion. The stipler said it in his way, and then Rav Zilberstein quotes it in his way. And then he had the most incredible coda. It's mind-boggling. Ulefizeh yitochen. Rav Zilberstein writes. Shenargan umekanter. Who knows Hebrew well? What's a nargan and a mekanter?
Umekanter is like a prosecutor.
Okay. It says in Chazal, there's a stira where the person learned Torah shelo l'shma or not. So the Tos says in Brachos Yuzayim, if it's shelo l'shma for covered, that's a bad shelo l'shma. But it's almanas l'kanter, trying to uproot the whole Torah. The guy's a contrarian who's always making tzaras and problems and fights. That's l'kanter. What's a nargan? No one knows. Chumash, but they ragnu be'olechem. What's that pasuk? Oh, Balkaris here. Pashas Dvorin, right? You saw a nargonim. They were complainers and fighters and bitter people. Can you imagine this? If the chosin is that kind of a person, it's the bechinas chisaron otzum who mutul the sapal of lashnara. What do you mean mutul? Should be chayav. If that rises to that level. Wow. Amazing. Rav Zilberstein seems to be assuming if a woman marries a man and he discovers to her chagrin, to her shock, that this guy was so gallant on all the dates and during the courtship and during the engagement, is really a monster and he's always fighting and arguing and bickering and he can't live it, she'd walk out. Frankly, halavai would be true. I'm telling you from my experience, it ain't true. She sits with him, she becomes pregnant from him, and they have fights about the children, and she waits a few years, and then it breaks up later on. That's been my experience, unfortunately. Didn't say hits her. But of course, hits her, you can't know in advance. You can't know from before. Never hit her before. His personality. So wait a second. I have the following, Charlotte. My next paragraph is the most amazing paragraph in this whole matter. Look at this now. They apply to someone in this room for all I know. Well, if he's there. Chiyuvo shel Adam legalos, Adam acher legalos, nilmad mi chiyuv ha-meshudach atzmo. If Rav Zilberstein is learning from the stipler, the stipler's case is what? Does the man have to reveal himself his father's not Jewish? And Rav Zilberstein uses that as a way to determine the obligation of disclosure by a third party. So the third party is derived from the chosn himself, the man himself. Because it's Tzorach Ian. The stipler wrote in Chilas Yaakov Lo Rak with Indian Hachi of Legalos, a legam in a Kiddush Etos. Lo Matzinu She'evsha Levatul Kiddushin Shlo Yoda Shabal Nargon of Akanta and Ayamaisa. She'll say, I didn't know he was an argumentative fighting guy. I would never have a verse with him. Yesh Lomar the Sofiku Mukulashon Yitochen. He used the word Yitochen, did Rav Zilberstein. Well, if he's there, in Borosha Chisaron Atzum, who? Habi Kiddushay Tos, Mehikir Adin. Can you imagine? If you know for a fact that the Chisaron Atzum to be a Nargon and a Kanter. That's too much. Look at this paragraph. Yosinirin. The Din Kiddushay Tos, Nema Rakashahita Osa. When he fooled her. The Adam Nargon and a Kanter, an argumentative bickering type, lo makim b'mulo. He doesn't know it. He thinks he's right. V'choshev shemisnag b'seder. Rabosai, come on. You know, we all are argumentative people. They think they're right because they're right. The prince, they're right. Whatever they're arguing about, they're right. What do you mean? Of course I'm right. I gotta argue with you. Omnam nizar b'pkishosav Shelo laharos midos elu. Oh, he's careful on his dates, not to show what kind of a character traits he has of anger management, perhaps, or of bickering. Avolo matzinu. Look what I wrote. Shekasa. A guy who has an anger problem. V'chuyav lichos v'tneam v'shudeches k'deh legalos es mumu. You imagine that? A guy who has an anger problem will make a new requirement on dates. Blow up. Get angry. To show the girl that you have an anger problem. I never in my life heard such an obligation that any boy was anger problems, and many of us are in that category. Well, we all get angry sometimes. Doctor, going to get angry on a date, so they should be able to see you when you're full-blown angry.
You get angry on a date.
What?
I don't really like
something
like someone
getting angry on a date. Road rage is one example. Road rage. People are angry drivers. They're driving the girl, and he gets road rage. She knows, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I don't want to. Are you b'chuyiv to have road rage on a date? Or you're allowed to be a mensch on the road when you're driving to your date and back, and then when you go and you drop her off, then you have road rage.
You can't date someone like that.
What?
You can't like date someone like, it just sounds really weird.
You seem to be living in this very idealistic bubble.
I don't know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you don't know. There are many people like this who are very argumentative and they're bickering, they have anger management problems. And I have to pick up the pieces when I get divorced later on. Shem Yishra Birach. Anyway.
How far does this like argumentative like bitterness? Like I know plenty of people who like when they look at something, they're always looking at the negative first.
Right.
They're like
right.
They're not necessarily unpleasant to be around, it's just like that's just their attitude.
Exactly.
So is that like what he's
so
talking about?
I'm just telling you that if that category is Nargon and Makanter of Zilbun suggested that you as a third party are required to reveal it. I want him to reveal it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know. He doesn't know it. L'chein. Oh. The movement that is hard, he wants to be pesha on his dates. He's going to try not to get angry. L'chein afsut fiatzad shu chesar and otzun. The rakadesh l'chayev odom achra legalas. V'lo b'shut and atzun. How do you like that? But now I come, yes.
Shouldn't you be like saying that about like all of their stuff? Like if the male like in the dating relationship like has a problem with like committing like say you like can't wake up from Indian, like do we have like a whole bunch like tell her, by the way, I can't wake up from Indian, like that's gonna be like a thing like in our
not a joke. A very serious question. The guy never goes to the he doesn't have it. Doesn't put on tefillin.
That's just an example, I guess.
Oh yeah. He doesn't put on tefillin. She thinks it's God's gift to humanity. A tzaddik is harolim, and he knows he has to put on tefillin. Should he tell her about it? My opinion. It's his question. Would she agree to marry a man who has to put on tefillin? She comes from a frum home, so she wouldn't agree. And if she would divorce when she finds out after the marriage he never put on tefillin, so then they have to tell him to sail in advance. Maybe Arab of Mecca. See, he won't put on tefillin, but he's tall, dark, handsome, rich. You fill in the blanks. He has to put on tefillin. We'll convince him maybe later on. There may be women who have that attitude. That's the critical criterion. V'yitochen, watch this now. The Adam Acher in a Tzorach Legalos. Why? Do Dover She'emshar La'meshudeches U'mishpachto Levareh Rabosai. The Chofetz Chaim writes that there's no disclosure obligation if the other side has an obligation to find out on its own. What does Chofetz Chaim say? Yediyah Satoru. He's the best boy in Lakewood. The best boy in YU. You ever hear that expression? They probably said about you too one day. I don't know. The best bacha. The bigger, the best. No? Yeah, it's Shandivas in this room. The best bacha. Okay. So, do you believe it? Everyone's the best bacha. He's the best bacha when he's in Shaduch. As soon as he gets married, oh, boys in Shaduch. For that, for those few months, now he's the best boy. It never takes time to being the best boy. So Rabosai, you, the Shver, have an ability to test him. What he writes. Iyu, the Shver, the Afsa and the Afshe. You assume he's a Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Even if you're, so the old, by Rabbanim themselves, when the boy walked in, they gave him a Faher. I kid you not.
Wasn't that like the whole shtick?
I'm sorry?
There
were Babajis
there. When he went to go out with his wife, so his father-in-law was like testing and they're talking to Torah the whole time, so they don't go out. And then they have like two or three times, and then finally, the Rosh Hashanah did the story.
Out.
And so finally, like the third time, he comes back, and the woman was really didn't want to go out with him. But then finally, so he says, "Let me speak with her for 2 minutes." So he goes in, and she's like, "Okay, great, I'll marry you." So what was that? So he said, "If you give me your Rabbi to 30, he said, "If you give me your time in Olam Hazeh, I'll give you some of my Olam Haba."
Oh, not a bad deal. In any event, Rabosai. So what comes out is, even if the father was not a Talmud Torah, Eitzel Baal Torah, Lenasos, Chachmaso. Bring him to a rabbi to talk to him and learning. He also points out, Yizor HaManasa, the rabbi, Shlola Hagdilis Chasar and Yidiyosa. I shouldn't say it's a total ignorance. Don't exaggerate his ignorance. You gotta tell it like it is. I have to tell you about Simon. I brought my three daughters, three sons-in-law. I didn't give any of them a bechina. Didn't give them a bechina. Yeah, I rely on their reputation. All three daughters of mine, the people who brought the shidduch to the house were not strangers. Not strangers. In all three cases, it was my sons. All three. I mean, someone had other input as well. One of them I knew without my sons. But in all cases, my three different sons came to me to suggest these young men to marry my daughters. So they're not going to sell me a bill of goods, my own sons. I can sell the daughter, their sister down the river. Chas v'shalom. So therefore, I gave no bechinas. And I still haven't given any bechinas. Baruch Hashem. But the person doesn't know, an outsider gives a who said it? Say something about the goods. So this is the tzad that the stipler suggested, that the Gemara Daf Mem Hei in Yevamos is the reason you have to reveal it. To hoyel olach karvelo chokar. You should have done what? Inquire who the father is. You didn't inquire. That means you don't care about it enough. He didn't inquire whether the father is a goy, whether he's a Talmud Chacham. So you bind the closed box, as is. And the Ran, we mentioned earlier, is along these lines. What do you mean along these lines? Evsha Shiyer Valam Amekar. You should have checked out if I'm an islandist or a Grusha Lakarni. It was your obligation, not my obligation. I have no disclosure obligation if you have an inquiry obligation. Amazing, this is an amazing paragraph. But if she's becheskes kshera, not she's from out of town, right? The case of the Gemara Yavamis is he's from out of town. If the Otsar Apostle says the Gemara Vienna Tsumas is where she's from out of town. So you don't know her yichus, you have to go check it out, his or hers. But what if the person's living in town, has a cheskes kashrus, but is a deep, dark secret that nobody knows that the person's not as kosher as you think? Maybe he's just a problem yichus, etc. Then you have to reveal it. And if you didn't reveal it, strictly speaking, you don't need to get it at all. Because the person married you, thinking for sure you were not a grusha. Let's say she lived in town as a single woman. She didn't cover her hair when she was single. Deep back in her history from 25 to 10 years ago, she lived in a different place, 1,000 miles away. She got married, divorced, a quickie. No one here knows about it. No one knows about it. You have a disclosure obligation. Because no one assumes it. That's the stamp set in his reputation. No one assumes that the father is a god. You have a disclosure obligation. But something which is a bit more prevalent and not known at all, even if it's not known, it should have inquired. Should have inquired. So these are two criteria: whether it's prevalent or whether it's known. Again, let's chazer again. The less prevalent and the less known, therefore, there is a right of assumption on the other party increases the disclosure obligation. That's keeping this deep dark secret that no one knows about, no one even dreamt about. Who thinks her father's about? Who thinks that she's a divorce? Granted your mind. Isn't that somewhat ironic, right? the more well-known it is, and the more prevalent it is, based on the circumstances, I have less of a disclosure obligation. You figure it out. Now we come to two amazing cases here, both sides. Two final, what I call potential medical cases, before we get to the last thing over here. The first is a woman who's 20 years old and has had no period. No menstruation, zero. Now, I haven't done the statistics on this. Maybe you can do it on your computer. On the computer, no one walked in with the computer today. Okay, it's a funny day. I guess it's a Sunday. It's a Shabbat Shem Shagos. People follow the Easter computers. Oh, you have them on your phone. What percentage of 20-year-old women have not experienced any menstrual bleeding? That's question number one. Question number two, among those women, what percentage can have a child? These are my two statistical questions I'd like to find out. And they're both very relevant to our discussion. So Rav Zilberstein writes, a woman who's 20, has not had any period at all, must disclose this fact unless the chance that she cannot conceive with medications is a mere she'eino matzur, which means in our language, single digits. There has to be a greater than 90% chance that with or without medication, she'll be able to have a baby. Now, of course, even a woman who has a period, there's a chance she can't have a baby without medication, even with medications nowadays, you know? There is a chance of people being infertile, even if they have you know? But that you can't take into account. It's true of males, true of females. We don't know when a couple is single and celibate, Baruch Hashem, Yisrael Kedoshim, how are they going to know if they're going to be able to have children? No one knows. No one knows. How do you know for sure? There's no reisa. The woman's body is perfectly formed. The man's body is perfectly formed. There's no one has any clue that there could be a problem. Maybe his sperm is... maybe has zero sperm count. There's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing. Maybe she has eggs which are not viable. How does she going to know? No one knows. So you can't... It's up to disclose. You don't know. You have to trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And hope and daven that your spouse, and you for that matter, will be able to have children. And if not, you go to a doctor and they try to do fertility treatments. And thanks to the amazing advance in modern medicine, many more people are able to have children than was true 50 years ago. That's a fact. It's a fact. You have any statistics for you? Nothing. Nothing came up. Okay, good. Okay. For tomorrow. This is Rav Zilberstein. Frankly, I am a chos of the Rav Zilberstein. But I have to tell you, the Rav Moshe disagrees. And I want to share the Shuvah insight. Rav Moshe's Shuvah, Rabbi Sai, is quite striking. I have to tell you the honest truth. If someone passed like Rav Moshe, I would be quite upset if I'd be on the other side of this one. I'm sorry to say it. Rav Moshe, the God of Ador. But I have to give you my honest opinion. And there's a Chela Gimel. Look at this Shuvah. Incredible. Simen Chav Zayin. Sula bas chav, she'ein la'orach kanashim. Nothing. Im yesh lachos v'kidush etos. She's 20, never had a period. She has hairs, okay, pubic hairs, but no period. Yesh me'arofim she'omer. It sounds like quack medicine to me, but that's what some doctor said. She'kasher tinosel le'ish v'tiboyel. She'll be intimate with a man. Yeh le'veses v'toled one. The intimacy will itself trigger a period. Sounds to me like it's so unrelated. But lean over tomorrow, I'll try to speak to a doctor and give you what they say about it today. Im yochol avio le'asiyo le'ish b'stam, shelo legalos lo, ze she'adayin lo'hoya le'ora kanashim, ho'yeh b'chash b'tzeitos at age 20. It means they arrive from a Gemara and Ksubis. What do you mean arrive from Gemara in this case? What kind of Gemara? It's a matter of fact, not a matter of Gemara. Whatever. The Gemara is super stuff. Yud, not going to the Gemara. Something emerged at the end of the Shulva, something amazing. Watch. The cave, the last paragraph. The cave and Shiruya be'etzen lebonim. Shaharbe anoshim ein akpidim kol kach shilam b'harbe bon. Ramosha claims, if you have no period at age 20, you can have many kids, you have some kids. Where you got that from? Let's get pregnant immediately. It doesn't work immediately. You got to have a doctor. I tell Talmidim, if you're getting married, don't expect the children to be born right away. If after a year passes, you try to become pregnant. After a year, nothing happens, go to a doctor for a workup. They work the girl up first. If they don't find nothing, it was unexplained. Not the question of what they call orthodox infertility, where she ovulates before she goes to the mikveh, whatever. And then ask the man to do a workup. It's just my simple choyom, my boss. This happens all the time. Zeina mekaftos. V'yesh v'zeh gam v'zeh sovek. V'tzal sheyesh v'erofim sh'omer. V'le'acha sh'tinosa yavolo la'aruch kanoshim. Believe it or not. Tuchel ol gam techa v'gam ha'be bonim. And he brings a right from the Gemara. Whatever. Akoponim came and shedikta na'sovek. Eini roa sh'yachil v'gal v'zeh. I'm blown away. Again, we should be, remind me after she call the doctor. I'll call my OBGYN, find out what the decision is. Ularavcha de Milsa, watch this now, the last few lines. Yachlitu ha'av ha'bas. The father of the girl and the girl will decide. Shem yavar's man shall arba shonim. If 4 years will pass, v'lo tisavim, and she won't become pregnant. V'gam lo yavar l'arach kanoshim, she'll have no period, 4 years later. To kabo mimenu get, below koshi, or below shum tviyosimen. She'll accept the get without any difficulty. She won't have any demands of him. Watch this now. This next line is mind-boggling. Shelahachlotazu. Once his decision is taken, shuv lo yeh lahanosa, there will not be for the man who married her, kim'at shum hefseh. He'll lose almost nothing. And therefore there's no need to disclose the Midas Chassidus. Hashem should send her a proper shidduch and she'd have children. Just imagine, Rabbi Osai. Here's a boy. He's 21. He's the best bachur in the yeshiva. 21. So everyone, all the girls are running after him. And they suggest the shidduch. They go to Rabbi Moshe. And they say to Rabbi Moshe, she never had a period. It's okay. Just make this hachlot. Good. They make that hachlot. He's now 22 years old, and he marries a girl. Mazel tov is dancing and singing, and it's like, and after a while, he sees that she's not getting any period. What's this? Oh, I never had a period. What? Revolution. Okay, so he has emunas chachamim. So 22, 3, 4, 5, he turns 26, the 4 years pass, Revolution's psak, and he gives a get, she accepts a get. What has he lost? For me, the best bachur in the yeshiva at age 21, who can get any girl he wants, he's now a 26-year-old divorcee. He lost almost nothing, eh? What? He lost almost nothing? You want to be in that situation? You want to lose almost nothing? Why do I call this Rav Moshe? It's Rav Moshe's love for every Yiddish maidel. For every Jewish girl, give her a chance to get married. Av b'kalkel sashura. I pulled this out in the following case. I had a case with someone from my community who had certain minor, we'll call it mental health issues, and was taking a pill just to sort of to calm her down. I spoke to my psychiatrist in the neighborhood. It's a garnish. She's really weaned herself off it. They don't really need it so much. But the psychiatrist said, it's safer to stay on it. So I told her, you have to tell the boy halfway through. Good. She was out with the boy, I know the family, and after like a month or so, they went out, let's say, four dates. So she tells him. She tells his parents, they break it up immediately. I got a nasty phone call from the mother, whom I know. How dare you tell this girl that she didn't have to reveal it at the beginning? You wasted a month of my son's time and so much emotional energy went into this. How dare you? But she didn't use those expressions, that's what she was complaining. So I told her, you think me? Rav Moshe, this is a family close to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said that they can hide this fact because you lost almost nothing after having the divorce 4 years and plus 4.5 years. So you go out, you get engaged, eh? 4.5 years later. You're worried about 1 month? 4 dates. It's always a balance, Rabbi Osai. It's a balance, not harming the ignorant party, and not harming the party has to force him to disclose something right away or at all in Rav Moshe's context. Have you found me so far, Rav Moshe? I would not pass on Rav Moshe. Again, unless the OBGYN tells me different, remind me to call that a shir, I would not rely on this shir. I'll hold it up as okay? That's one case of a medical problem, which is not really a problem as such. You're not going to live a shorter life if you have no period, but it compromises the fertility. So it's a fertility issue. The next case, watch this now. There's even more, I'm supposed to speak about this in a few weeks. I spoke about it many times before. Zilberstein writes, "Im no says BRCA gene, chayevus laudia." Everyone knows what BRCA, everyone in this room knows what BRCA gene means?
Thing for PSATs?
No. No. BRCA, breast cancer. BR, breast cancer, CA. It's a breast cancer gene. Very common in Ashkenazi Jewish women. Can I tell you a secret? Men carry it too. I had a shadow last week, but a man who discovered he's carrying the BRCA gene. Obviously, he's not affected, but it can affect his children. You have BRCA, 50% chance that my knowledge your child has it. Says Rav Zilberstein, breast cancer is a serious disease, and it comes young for those who have the BRCA. You're required to reveal it to the man. That's statement number one. Statement number two is even more shocking. V'yesh le'ima ha'jina na, the mother was daughter of the BRCA gene. The daughter is chayeves livdok. She has to test imi noses es ha'jin. Shalotavar al yisrael no. It's a 50% chance. You're not allowed to remain in doubt. Ignorance is bliss. You're not allowed to remain in doubt of the 50% chance that I'm carrying this gene. So I shouldn't have to reveal it to the boy if I'm carrying it. I don't know. I want to hide my head in the sand. Not allowed. When can you hide your head in the sand? If the chance of you having something is a mir she'en amatsui. A mir she'en amatsui, you're not required to test for. The same way as it comes to trephis. If it's a mir she'en amatsui, you're not required to test for it. So too, with respect to a mir she'en amatsui, in a health situation or other blemish, you're not required to test for it. That's the psak of Rav Zilberstein, which we discussed a little bit earlier, that Rav Zilberstein held from that psak. If it's a small chance of it happening, then you're not required to test yourself to see what the story is. But if it's a large chance, a 50% chance, then presumably you're required to check. Like you said, you check for trephis, mir hamotzi, not for mir she'en hamotzi. Okay, this is a very important use of. We mentioned before, if the chance is less than 10%, you can't have children, you're not required to reveal it. You're not required to test for it. So I used to think that Rav Zilberstein was right. But look at the next page. Yudches. Venire. So the Fiaculus Yaakov, Eino Tzricho Legalo Shenosis Jane Bracken. Why? Let me ask you a question. A boy marries a girl, and it turns out after they're married, she has a bracken. He's going to divorce her? Are you kidding? She's not even sick. Is there a high chance she's going to get cancer down the road? Yes, very high chance. Hopefully she'll be cured. Not only that, but in today's modern medicine, that's an amazing suggestion they have today. Prophylactic surgery. Preventive surgery. Double. Not only a mastectomy, but an oophorectomy. Removing the ovaries, which is very dangerous when it comes to the BRCA gene. It can cause ovarian cancer, which is a silent killer. It's a disaster. It would be a little disfiguring despite the reconstructive surgery. Once you remove the eggs, you can't have any more children. So, you do the reconstructive surgery, not so disfiguring. You have your kids early, because generally speaking, you're safe till your 30s. Get married young, have your kids in your 20s. and lived to 120? And gives it 20, lived to 120. So a man's not going to divorce a woman and discover that she has BRCA. So they have called it a stipler. That's the criterion. You're not required to reveal it. That's number one. But it seems that the majority view of a post is against the stipler. Against. I see Rabbi Yosha's reason. This is an objective problem, this bracket. As opposed to just a subjective issue, the father's a god. Look what it says. According to the stipler Kavachomer, that the daughter's not required to see if she has bracket in the first place. But even those who argue on the stipler, not so pushing. What about the following? Construct the following hypothetical. The mother had breast cancer. How do you know? The people know. It wasn't kept a secret. There's a group of breast cancer support group for those who would never have it. What's, you know what it's called? They run marathons, they raise money, you know? It's called Sharsheris. A similar case, other cancers, something called Chai Lifeline, Camp Simcha. So you know that someone's involved in Camp Simcha. You begin to wonder, you heard someone was a little sick, you're involved in Camp Simcha, you begin to wonder, hey, what's going on over here? Inquire. I had a case. Someone was going out with a boy, and I called her, there was some kind of a question in general about the boy. I don't know how. So I called the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, you should better check out the health situation. Something happened a long time ago. Did the right thing? So I told this to the other side. Oh, yeah, look him up. He's involved. The parents are major supporters of Chai Lifeline. It came simple. Turns out, just one call here, and he spoke to one son based medrash, and one call that the boy, unfortunately, had cancer as a teenager. They didn't necessarily call up because of that reason, but it ended up not working out. But they're entitled to know. Could be fertility issues, could be chas v'shalom comeback issues. They're officially cured after 5 years, but unfortunately, there's almost been no cases that come back. I don't get involved. On the other hand, there are people who don't inquire. A woman had breast cancer. She's involved in Sharsheris. It's not a secret that she had breast cancer. It's not a secret. Does she have BRCA? Nobody knows. So a rabbi can get a phone call about such a woman. I know she had breast cancer. Does she have BRCA? Is it her business whether the woman had BRCA or not? So the rabbi will be given instructions. Say nothing. Be evasive. Even if the rabbi happens to know that the mother does have the breast cancer gene, if the mother doesn't want to reveal it, just be evasive. What will be the response of people on the other side? Guess what? As we say in our language today, yesh v'yesh. There'll be a mother who smells a rat. The rabbi is being evasive, and she just won't let the son go out because she surmises correctly in his BRCA in the family. But for every such mother, there are many others who don't ask any questions. They don't ask. They don't ask anything. Now, they're not unaware of possibilities because it's not a steep, dark secret. I told you about the less secretive it is, the less disclosure obligation there is because the other person can find out. But they don't ask, and they let their son marry this girl, so they're happy with it, as is. Worst case scenario, The girl doesn't know she has BRCA. The mother didn't agree with Rabbi Zilber. She didn't have it tested. So I thought the mother was wrong. But after history, I think maybe the mother is right. It's not a deep, dark secret. It's well known that the mother had cancer at a young age. It's well known. It's not a secret. Anyone who cares enough about BRCA should ask. And you get an evasive answer, you can have a guess that the mother has it, and then there's 50% chance the daughter has it if she wasn't tested. You walk away. You don't walk away, it means you'll take a chance. Can you really? So therefore, Rav Zilberstein's track here, I thought it was right, but upon reflection, I'm not sure it's right. It's a deep, dark secret, perhaps. I knew somebody was a cancer survivor. A hushed tone, they kept trying to keep it a secret, but you can't keep secrets, I will say. And the issue was fertility issue. And they kept getting questions. this person, can he have children or can he not have children? I don't know. I didn't know. Now, of course, this person could be tested, right? You'd have to take a sperm analysis. You'll see, you know, a semen analysis. You'll see, is that yes or no? To the best of my knowledge, the person was not tested. There was a significant chance of infertility on his part. And he would only marry a woman who had children already, which he did after many years. And the woman apparently was understood that whether there's going to be children or not, we don't know. If there won't be children, she already has a couple of children. Okay. But a single girl wouldn't go out with him. And maybe he wouldn't go out with her. I don't know if he would or wouldn't. I don't remember the facts anymore. These are all very, very delicate questions, Rav Rosen. Very delicate. Any questions you have before I go on to my last case for today? The last case is really a subistic case, but it's really the first parent. First parent of case. I want to turn to subis, that Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, towards the bottom, about halfway through the nap, the wide line. Kintza becheskes besula. The nim says beula. Oh, it's trouble, huh? According to the first opinion, yesh la ksuba mona. She gets a ksuba, it's a small ksuba, she says beula. That's what some say. However, there's another opinion. The other opinion says no. The other opinion says, Kinsa Becheskes Pesula, Peninsa Beula, Mekach Tos, Les La Klal, get nothing. You look about five lines up, Mekach Tos Legamri Mashma, totally. Totally. Wow. Rashi says, Mekach Tos Legamri Mashma, Ve'ein Lo Klum. She gets nothing. And so we pass the Lachal HaMaisa. Take a look at both same terses, Yudam and Aleph. Yudam and Aleph, Rav Osai.
Can we say that you can't, like, that there's a problem if he would recognize it? Isn't that like...
That's so slow. The Gemara is enough. Yudah ben Aleph as follows. Chachamim tiknu lem the nosisrol the psula masayel amon amon. The heim heim yinu shemah pesah pesuach matzasi nema. In fact, the Gemara came. Now we don't have chachamim tiknu lem. I was going to say it. Get the same few dollars. Amarav chazaka ein adam toreach misuda umafsida. What does that mean? Rashi did first. Narrow line. Ein locha sheyiton odom kach. As a lie. Alabamas. Only if it's true. Shimahoya sone osa mitchila. He had it from the beginning. It's just a pretext and a pretense. Lohaya toreach besuda bekonza. Umafsit suda sochinam. Lohaya megarsha mitchila. He divorced him from Kiddush before Nisuin. Well, not married in the first place. So this is presumed credibility. Says Tosfos. Chazak einam toreach. Tema, tena eshes koin. Of chus and gimel the mitzra alei. Let's look at the mafsida nema. If you're kids of the chesed of the sun, it's ula, hey, look, so the klal, nicha. The hashti nama mafsida, he loses the suda. Why? Sharin mekach tosu. The Beishmul reads his tosus to me, and if a person marries a girl thinking she's a psula, she's a bula, they're not married. They're mamish not married. That's how the Beishmul reads this tosus. scary, no? Always is scary. Always is scary. Beis Shmuel can be found in Siman Samaches. This goes twice to our twice. This the mother Kaimala, the kids of the Cheskis, the Sula, and the Bula, and the Ksuba, was Mafsir Asuda, and therefore, I both sign the Sifan Tosvis, the Hecha that we make up Tos, Sarak Lekacha Mechodosh, for last is this soon. Why do you lose the meal? We have to make another meal. Or Shaf the Mafsir Asuda. Aber der neue Zorg las es ist tun. Er legt der Box um, hat er immer seine Sule, wenn er nehmen. So you have to divorce her. Otherwise you're not believed. Sag over here. It's basic Kiddushei Tos. Kiddushei Tos. And if he wants to get a divorce, he gets a divorce. Without a get. The Pasha Pran of Shmuel, a man marries a woman. Turns out she's a Ba'ula. And she confesses, true confessions, yes, hubby, I didn't want to tell you before, I don't want to embarrass myself. I'm a Ba'ula. Why don't you tell me? No, I didn't tell you. Goes to the rabbi, called the Shmuel, called the Tosfos, he can just walk away without giving her again. She doesn't need again? Wow. Yeah.
Doesn't the basic machlokas of the Gemara imply that they are still married? Because that's why they're arguing at Ksuba.
You're right. But the Tosfos says, you saw the Tosfos, then the Shmuel read the Tosfos. Is that everyone agrees? Not everyone agrees that, but that read. Comes Rabbi Yoshev and says in the Tshuva, do we have Rabbi Yoshev's Tshuvas on screen? No? Not yet?
Maybe.
Kovitz Tshuvas.
Why is the Kiddushei Tos if she's a Ba'ula but not if he is?
Like, oh, we'll come to that. Come to that. No, don't have. Listen carefully, Rabosai. Rabbi Yoshev Paskins, you have to reveal it. Otherwise, according to Beis Shmuel, they may not be married at all. So they'll be living in sin their whole lives without a marriage.
Wow. Is it living in sin their whole lives because if he doesn't find out about it, the Mekaptos, it's Mekaptos already?
You want to say a Tifa verb. If he never finds out, they're not living in sin. Even if they're not married. I already told you before that the nature of the Isser of living out of marriage is that you know you're living out of marriage. If you don't know, it won't hurt you. Not like
also
an Isser.
Also, you could even say, maybe not, but like you could say that they're actually married because there's not been a Mekaptos until he finds out about it.
No, I'm not sure. Pasha's the Mekaptos from the beginning. But that's the question whether, in fact,
isn't that what we said before, though, by the person whose father is a guy?
The reason
why it's not Mechatot is because he never finds out. And then today, she has to reveal there was a Netziv, no?
True.
So could
but
you say
the question, what did Tosfos mean? How many people have the Tosfos Rosh? What, you have a Tosfos Rosh? You have in the back? No? Let's put it on the board. Put on the board just for the people who are, half of you don't have it. Put it on the board.
Tosfos Rosh is on this rush.
Where's Tosfos Rosh? Is here? Tosfos Rosh and Audaf, Iksubis. Take a look at Tosfos Rosh, look what he says. He also uses the word Mekaptos, but watch. Watch. Look what it says. I mean, Mekaptos. Watch this. Ubevada is from the Meimar, to Mishum Haf Tana, Plomotza Besula, Komigareshla. Fulahoya Meshakel Hafsa Tsudasa. What does that mean? That she will not accept the Ksuba of Mana she accepts the basula, and he's not willing to give her 200, he'll have to divorce her. What do you see? At the Kiddushin is Chal, at the Beis Shmuel's Rita Tosfos is incorrect. Baruch Hashem, they're married. But of course, the problem is, Rabbosai, the problem is, even if they're married, there's no Ksuba. Because the Ksuba was written for Ksuba's Pesula. She's really a Ba'ula. So they're living all their lives without a Ksuba. We all know, also, this show, Shoah, as we looked at Barichas Gadol at the beginning of the year, below Ksuba. So Rav Yashiv passes Alof Alamaise, you have to reveal it, in the perspective of the Ksuba.
Yeah, but didn't we also say that was because she doesn't feel secure in the marriage? And if he doesn't know the Ksuba.
That's right. I would say since he doesn't know, she's not absolute, she should be secure in the marriage. That's number one. Number two, I told you the case of Rosai. Look at the Mishnah in Aleph and Aleph. An actual case. Hagiyores Vashvuya Vashifra Shariftu Vashanishtairu Vashanishaku Kusos Vashoshon Yamechon Subosan Messiah Yeshim Tanisfu. Another case where the girl was adopted at birth. Converted at birth, more or less, before the age of 3, and they use a standard form for Ksuba of Giyoris, which has only a smaller amount of money. So the question became, give out to write a new Ksuba. And the answer was no. You know why? Because it's Tosefes Ksuba. Our Tosefes Ksuba is way more than the Ego Ksuba, way more. One Zuzim, one Kukim, we have a ratio of 60 to 1, or 20 to 1, way, way more. Rav Zalman Lechem was master of Rav. There's no need to write the Ksuba, because in effect, even though the Ksuba itself says Mon instead of Messiah, maybe you half, or maybe even only 1/16 of the sum, it's more than made up for by the Tosefes Ksuba. Chamish is a Meir Zukukim Kesef Tzorov, Sach HaKol. It's much more than anything. So Rabbi Yoshev Shach to me is a little bit perplexing. A little perplexing. Nonetheless, what's Iker then? We're saying, from the perspective of the Ksuba, we don't have to reveal it. Why not? Because, number one, it's not Kalabay Notziah, because he'll never know. Number two, there was a ksuba of Meir's Zukukim, which is much more than Masai and Zuz by a long shot. 10 times as much, if not more. The question is as follows. Can we say that she didn't say anything? Don't ask, don't tell. She didn't ask. If you ask, I have to tell. He didn't ask. I didn't tell. So if she's a balas chuva, went to university campus, and she didn't say, come on, he's being naive. She's a Beis Yaakov girl, lived all life in Beis Yaakov, and she's not saying anything. Can we assume, he didn't ask, I didn't tell. Bit of a stretch.
Or which, sorry, what was the kvila? If she went to college, so
that... And she's obviously not a psula. He's marrying her anyway, he knows she's not a psula.
So,
he didn't ask her, he wanted to ask her... unedifying details of all that.
So then she doesn't have a responsibility.
Right, because she thinks that he assumes she's not a Pesula, but she isn't.
But if
she's a Beis Yaakov, how's she going to know what she did once in a private city or something? No one knows about that.
So she's.
But Kerek, same as a Mum. Any blemish, the less known it is, the more it's called your obligation.
Didn't we have the opposite case where the guy was. She met him on the condition they learned in Kollel and we said it wasn't Mecca Post? Even though he was in Mizanus
isn't
that the...
First of all, that's a man and not a woman. So I happened the following case. I'll tell you an interesting story. Rabbi David Miller Shlita asked me, one of my trips there to Israel when I was visiting in the course, a very serious question. A girl from a Haredi community sinned with her boyfriend. She's not a Besula. She says it, she's going to kill a Shaduchim for life. She's going to get killed. Look at an immoral woman. Is she allowed to tell the boy, or the family, or the Shatzkin, she's not a Besul? You know why? She was raped.
Was the question is if that's true, or is
not,
she
it's not true. She agreed to be living with a boyfriend. What's the point Rabbi Miller was making? Look, As far as tzidkus is concerned, righteousness, that is not a ma'akim. Why? We don't find that a male is required to reveal his sexual history to a girl when he's marrying her. Not required. Chatas nurim. I'm not condoning the tevah. Chalil of a chas. Don't get me wrong. It's terribly sinful. It's destructive at many levels. But he had a girlfriend when he was lived with her. Unfortunately, they had these people and their hormones are strong and they're still young. And they did tshuva about tshuva gemurah. Gomer, he did tshuva gemurah. And now he's a 20-year-old yeshiva guy with a black hat. Is he required to tell the girl what he did when he was 15 or 17? No. Many posts say no. She is a female. There's a physical change in her. But by acquiescing to the fact that she's not a basula physically because of an onus, she's in effect now equated with a man. Doesn't have to reveal. Oh. So I said to her, Nila, I'm going to go to Zab Nechem, I'm going to ask. So I asked him the shadow. Before I got 2 words out of my mouth, he says, I have an answer for you. Let us say she was an answer. So we build this question. He said, right away, it's an eight. So I figured, let me push the deck. Could you say she's book us eights? Let's say she has no pursuit. She went horseback riding. Zahm Hachem said, no. Because book us eights is a different halacha you see in the sugya. He wouldn't go for that. He wouldn't go for that. However, I both say,
What? There are a lot of emotional issues that come with a lot of emotional baggage.
Exactly. I thought, if you ask me, a boy might be more quickly to marry a girl who confesses the truth that she sinned when she was 15 with a boyfriend than marry a girl who was violated when she was 15 with by some guy or who knows what. Because of some of the psychological damage. But I'm not going there, I'm just letting you know.
I think that for community norms, though, that's such a violation of community norms.
Comes along, the last Shiva, but I don't think we have it in our Shivas, unfortunately, I don't think we have it. The Kloisenberger Rebbe has Shivas. I don't think we have it, we'll see some. Don't have it. We do have it. Watch this. We'll end with this. Eben or Ezer, Simen Tetzvot. Nara Pnuyo Bas Gedolim Shall be Aldusa Nispatas of Pamaya Mekoshala. She's in a depression. She wants to commit suicide. She now is better. She has to get married. She's embarrassed what she did. She's afraid of suicide. She's embarrassed. Any bachur dati v'charedi won't marry her. And it's going to be a disaster. She'll go to Tav Israel. She'll become completely secular. She'll start with one of any amunah. Can she get married without saying anything to the boy? Says the Klosenberg Rebbe, a chiddush neira v'oyom mamish. He says, you don't have to say anything. Wait a minute, don't say anything. But if they get divorced or widowed, she'll collect too much money. She'll let Messiah instead of Mona. Says the Rebbe, today no one collects a ksuba. Come on. That doesn't happen anymore. No one's collecting a ksuba. Don't worry about Yisik Zayla. Nah, not going to happen. Unlikely. But then the Klosterberger pulls out the most amazing thing. Watch this, Rabbi Sai. I love this thing. Based on the Gemara, really. No, what happened over here? I don't want to be sure of this. Oh. Watch this. Sibo. Yesh omer the tanis pesach pasuach lo yuchal iton rak nosui. He's once married before. He knows what's going on. In an encounter with a woman. Abu Bachor, never been married, he says, Pesach, lo, are you crazy? Adar Abba, Malkin Osok Shetoa, he Malkus. The Be'achash lo, your nose, the Be'tchila, he's not going to know what Pesuah, come on, he's not going to know. Says the Kloisa Megaleva, the average Yeshiva Bachor will have no clue that she had beer with another man. He won't know, how's he going to know? He won't know, he'll never know. He'll never know. And therefore, Abosai, say nothing. He did tshuva, same as a man is not required to reveal all of his stuff. And as far as the physical change, the only person to be makpid is someone who knows the difference. But above, is not supposed to know the difference, not allowed to know the difference. I'd count from the closing book of the Rebbe. What an amazing tshuva. I mean, I didn't have a chance to read from it, at least it's on the screen. I just want to see if you can see it. That's the bottom line. The Shas HaTchak, that's what he says. That's what he says. Mm-hmm.
So why didn't Rav Miller suggest this?
He didn't rely on him. He didn't rely on him. Whatever.
Let's say the man hasn't done tshuva. Let's say, I mean, we had that case before. What if he's still engaging in such behavior? He doesn't have to reveal that.
No, the difference is he did it once, twice.
But in the case we saw before with the person who tried to, you know, the Zionist said,
yeah,
well, that he doesn't have to reveal that the Kedusha tells?
I think he should, but he didn't. Much what we said about also over here, Takonas Hatzibu he throws in, that we're not trying to be in Shidduchim anymore. He wants to suggest that Takalos and Takanosan. But now that somebody proves this nowadays, you have to suspect it. Unbelievable. This is an amazing, amazing tshuva. Maybe she wasn't not in the right mind at the time. Isaac Suma says, Psulta, it's okay. Not going to be collected anyway at the end of the day. Wow. More than we said, we're out of time. So tomorrow, Master, we have to go right back to the. We spent a whole day on this Maimah. I think it's very well spent time, in my opinion. But tomorrow, we go back to the Gemara of Ayin, Heyam, and Aleph. It's on the Maimah Komus. But Padachta, Rob, and Ifayes. And the Sugan Ayin Hayamid base with the Tosfos over there, Mum Shabagoli, Mum Shabaseser, and the Sugya on Daf Ayin Zayin about a Nichpeh, all the various movements we're about to talk about, which I haven't discussed until now, and I'll do those nus, to cover these things, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow and Tuesday, and then hopefully start the Sugya of Esther Karakol, my time is Esther, not before. And after Purim, we'll discuss tomorrow at lunch. We're going to lunch meet tomorrow at 12. What are we going to do? This should be after the program. Okay, stop here.